This is ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader, and this is the Laker Hockey Show. For the next hour, we'll hear from Laker head coach Damon Whitten and the longtime voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford. Now, let's join Bill and Damon.
All right, good evening, everybody. It's Bill Crawford along with Matt Pocket. Damon Whitten's with us, and we got a lot to talk about. As usual, you do this show once a month, Damon, and things pile up on you, and lots of things going on right now. A lot of news has come out in the last 30 days, and, you know, we should probably start off with the new athletic director who has joined you. I met him at the Lake State Classic a week and a half ago, but he's trying to learn what's going on. I said to him when I talked to him, I said, how confused are you? He says, very, right now, trying to just get the ropes here. But Dave Dyles has joined us. It's Dave Dyles Jr., and his dad was a famous broadcaster in Detroit, and Dave grew up there, and he's coming home, really, by coming from Virginia Military Institute out in Virginia and back to Michigan. And I think that had a lot to do with his decision, too, a chance to get closer to home. But he seems to like it, and we'll have him on the show probably in September and talk a little bit about his indoctrination. But what's it been like so far with the new AD?
Yeah, well, great to be in studio talking Laker hockey. Appreciate you guys having me in. And, you know, the great thing is we only have one more monthly show, then we're weekly because the hockey season's almost here. So great to be here. Yeah, and a lot of excitement with Dr. Dyles, you know, coming to Lake State, as you said. He grew up downstate and, you know, played hockey growing up. So he's got a hockey background. His dad was a legend in Detroit broadcasting and really national broadcasting. And so a really strong background. You know, I think I'll mess some of this up, but I think Dave's got about 26 years as an athletic director, you know, running programs, Eastern Michigan, St. Bonaventure, VMI, where he's currently at or came from. So, you know, very experienced in the role. I think he brings a real kind of steady hand in that experience, as I just mentioned. So, you know, a lot of excitement for what he brings. I think he's, you know, stepping into a place that's in a really good spot overall from, you know, what David Payton inherited from Chris Dunbar. So we've had, you know, good leadership in that chair, a lot of good things in place. You know, David Payton brought some stability to our coaching ranks. So I think all the coaches are back at the head coaching level, you know, and our teams and rosters are intact, things like that. So it will give Dr. Dyles some time to, you know, kind of assess and get caught up. I think he's about 14, 15 days on the job as we speak. As you said, we are going to maybe have him in tonight, but I think next month will give him a little bit better lay of the land and a little bit more to talk about and more assessment to be done there. But very steady, very experienced, and we're really looking forward to his leadership and the many different things he will bring to Lake State.
Well, I think one of the things we all noted when we looked at his resume, he's very, very successful as a fundraiser. That's a big deal at Lake Superior State. It's tough to raise funds at Lake Superior State. We don't have that industrial base here in the Sioux that a lot of places have. We don't have the population. We don't have the alumni base even at Lake Superior State that a lot of places do. So you've kind of got to find a different way to raise money. But he's been really successful. He's done a great job everywhere he's been of bringing money to the program.
Yeah, it really is a strength of his, and as you said, you know, it's you know, we're celebrating our 75th anniversary this year at Lake State, so we're a relatively young institution, and you know, with our size, there's not that enormous you know, alumni base that some institutions have the luxury of. So he'll do a great job in that area and finding strategic partnerships and the fundraising side of it. You know, I think it's a really exciting time, and Coach Henning and I were both part of the search process, and you know, joined by senior management. You know, Tim Lukenda from the Board of Trustees was on that. Lynn Gillette, our provo, Dr. Gillette led that search with Wendy Beach, also from senior management. Scott Smith from the foundation. So we had a wide array of backgrounds and experience levels to lead us through the search. It was a really strong search, and Dr. Dyles, you know, from the moment it started, really has stood out with what he's accomplished in athletics and across his career. So, again, just a lot of excitement from within the department about the level of leadership and expertise he brings in many different areas. You know, we can't wait to kind of get going with him. It's we want him to, you know, really acclimate quickly and get going here. And he's going to have to because seasons are right around the corner, which is an exciting part.
Yeah, he's only been on the job for about 2 weeks right now. So he probably hasn't really had too many meetings or anything like that. What do you see in him as a leadership style from the limited time you've had working with him?
Yeah, well, he's a people person, you know, and some people that know him and have worked with him, you know, all kind of rave about the way he cares about his people, the way he takes care of his people. I think he's big on development, you know, mentoring coaches and developing coaches or staff members. And I think that was part of the process that stood out as well, where, you know, people that maybe started, maybe even as a grad assistant with him somewhere along the lines, you know, they jumped into a compliance role, into a senior management role, or, you know, associate AD role. So I think he's a very strong developer of people and of talent. And I think that's important here at Lake State, where we all wear a lot of different hats there. So, again, he'll bring that very, you know, experience background, that very steady hand in leadership. And I think it's going to be tremendous, not only for athletics. And I think that was part of the attraction from Dr. Gillette and Tim Lukenda and even Dr. Hanley, who was obviously ultimately made that hire, is what he'll add to our whole university. His broad-based experience across many institutions are going to make Lake State a better place, not just in athletics, but across our whole institution. So a lot of optimism there. And as you know, students get back and moved in yesterday, you know, numbers look strong, and you know, it's great to see some you know, a lot of life back on campus and kids moving in. So it's a great time of year when you work in higher education and kids are back in campus. You know your chance to really be impactful and you know, enjoy the best time with kids here is right around the corner.
Yeah, with Dave Dials coming in as a new AD, he's got a lot of stuff on his plate right away too. I know that Hunter Perry has moved on. She was your marketing ticketing type person. Rico Righetti, your compliance officer, is gone. Now Pat Sarney, your athletic trainer, the guy who worked mostly with hockey, has moved on to Penn State. A lot of things going on right now and a lot of openings. That can be tough because you got to do the work to get the people. But I would think if you're the new AD, you kind of like this because you can get your own people.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, I probably never ideal to step into that role. And you know, that's your first duties you have to do is go fill positions and things like that. But on the flip side of it, as you just alluded to, Bill, now you get people that you know, you get to bring in. They come under you. They're going to match, you know, what you're looking for and how you want to, you know, kind of grow and adjust those positions. And I think that's, again, with his leadership background and experience in there, I think he's got a little bit different vision of how he sees some of these positions being filled, ways they can kind of grow and cover and help develop people. So, you know, that is the positive side to it. And all those processes are moving forward. There was a candidate on campus today. We'll continue to have different candidates on campus and all the different coaches and staff members in athletics, you know, contributing on search committees and looking to fill positions there. So a little bit of a challenge because the timing of it, and that'll be what we have to do with Pat Sarney as well. You know, Pat did a great job for us and, you know, really did a good job taking care of our student athletes, not just hockey players, but the other sports that Pat was responsible for. And, you know, Becky Olson, who filled in for the WCHA championship because of Pat at a wedding. Becky's going to have to, you know, really, really, you know, help out in a lot of ways this few weeks as we look to replace Pat. You know, I think we've been pretty fortunate to have people that, you know, want to get in hockey, want to get in Division I hockey and also the other sports, as I mentioned. And, you know, we'll look to fill that as quickly as we can.
Yeah, Becky Nason made the right move, too. She went with you at the right time. She wound up being in the championship picture at WCHA.
Good timing.
And
good timing,
it was the only
yep.
time she worked with the Lakers, I think, in hockey, unless she helped out a few times. It's the only time she was there all year, but that's great for her. She's a good kid. She's a local.
Yeah. Becky does a really great job, you know, and her main sports are basketball and some other sports. Like you said, we don't get her a ton, but certainly, you know, the way they work together in unison as co-head athletic trainers, we see quite a bit of Becky, and we were very fortunate she was able to kind of fill in for us. And, you know, we'll call her in for the big games with that championship experience now. So it was great to have her, and Scott made the trip with her. So it was cool to share that championship with them.
Well, we've got a lot of things going on. You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show tonight. We're live on a Tuesday night. We'll do this show. You'll hear it again on Thursday morning at 8 a.m. If you want to spread the word on that, if people miss it tonight. And Matt will make sure it gets podcast as well for the month. We do these monthly in the summertime. We'll have one more monthly show in September, and then we'll be going weekly in the month of October with Laker Hockey Show rather than Laker Hockey Talk, which is what this one is. We got a lot of other things here. Since we last talked, Damon, Mike York, your assistant coach, and Zach Sizek, the other assistant coach, have been promoted to associate head coaches. I guess that means a little more money in their paycheck, but it also means more responsibility. And it's a really good move on your resume. It looks good, and it shows that they are doing a really good job, and they are, and they get promoted.
Yeah, and the other big part is a multi-year contract extension for both Mike and Zach, and you know there's a few institutions that have multi-year for assistant coaches, and I thought bringing that stability to them was really important for our program. Both those guys do a tremendous job. They're really well matched together too. You know, Zach's strengths are maybe areas Mike need to improve, and vice versa. Mike's strengths are maybe areas Zach need to improve upon. So they work great together in that role and really balance each other well, but very fortunate to have them. You know, both those guys do a great job. I think most of our fans know that, you know, Zach's kind of that defensive coordinator for us. His main focus is on the defensive side of the puck with all position groups. He brings that unique ability to be a goalie-specific guy as well, and, you know, has done an unbelievable job. When he left Notre Dame, their goaltender just came off the Mike Richter Award, won that Mike Richter Award, and then just a couple years later, obviously, Merrick Smith, you know, a finalist for the Mike Richter Award. So Zach does, you know, so many things well for us, and that goalie thing is a little bit unique that he brings as well, which is awesome. And then Yorkie, you know, like I said, he's the offensive coordinator. They balance each other well. You know, Yorkie can look at his background as a player, being, you know, a former NHL All-Star, a Hobie Baker candidate in college hockey, apply that to our guys. You know, every guy that walks in our locker room dreams of having a career like Mike York had. So he brings that unique mindset of what it takes to play in the NHL, how you get there, and then certainly does a lot, you know, as well in terms of our style of play, how we're going to possess pucks and make plays with puck and use that skill and ability. Again, it was so natural to him, and he does a great job of relaying that to our players there. So we're excited to have both those guys. Zach is newly married, and you know, we're excited to have Emily and Zach with us, and Mike and Amy and their kids as well, you know, here hopefully, you know, throughout that contract extension and in a few years beyond that as well. So huge part of our program, and they've done just a tremendous job, and, you know, very excited for the news and a well-deserved promotion as associate head coach for both those guys.
Yeah, they have done a really good job. Our program has come strides. I mean, you win the WCHA championship in the last year of that league, and nothing short of doing well again this year will be acceptable, but that's okay. That's what we want. We've built this thing. We've had to rebuild for the most part, and Zach and Mike have been a big, big part of that, so I can see why you're excited about maintaining them. Not only making them associate head coaches, but getting a little bit longer contract to give them some security as well. We're going to talk about newcomers in the second part of our show, the guys who are coming in, but are most of the players back now? What's the situation with guys? Are they all on campus? Are some of them still en route? And what sort of things are they doing?
Yeah, great question. I think, you know, just kind of some behind the scenes that maybe you don't see, you know, and you know, we get to see them on Friday, Saturday night play, but, you know, the life's behind this. You know, Artie Borshoff didn't get a chance to go home to Belarus. He's in a war-torn country, kind of a civil war going on back home in Belarus, and so Artie stayed in the States all summer. It's been, I think, 2.5-3 years since he's been home to see his parents, and fortunately they're safe back home, but a very trying time back in his home country, and certainly a lot that is on his plate because of that. Mitch Oliver is stuck out west because of the wildfires out in British Columbia. So his flight's been delayed a couple of days here, and he's still trying to figure out ways to get out here. So, you know, obviously hoping his family for safe passage. And, you know, Ethan Langenager is a Kamloops guy. We've got a committed guy who's Kamloops as well. And that whole area is surrounded by forest fires right now. And so it's been a really trying summer for some of our commitments. And Ethan Langenager, where he was at was a little bit safer than our committed guy. And Ethan left a little bit earlier. So he brought a car back, drove early, got out of there. But right now, Mitch is trapped home. So I think we've got two more guys in tonight, and then just Mitch Oliver will be our last guy, you know, working on travel plans here. So guys are here. You know, freshman orientation or Laker Week has launched, and the freshmen are right in the thick of things in terms of, you know, getting acclimated to campus. A couple guys have been here for a while just to get here and get going with Coach Brown and, you know, get back in the swing of things. But everybody's either in route or here beyond Mitch. So we're hoping Mitch finds a way to get out safely, and that everybody out in BC is safe dealing with wildfires. wildfires all summer.
Yeah, so I take it that Lakerpalooza and all that sort of thing is this week. That's all part of the orientation process, especially for freshmen, but all returning people. And it's always been a little bit of excitement this first week. And then you'll get into things next week. You mentioned Taylor Brown, strength coach, does a great job. I think he's probably got a lot of the guys in the room already, showing them proper technique and working out and getting ready. Is the ice in now? When will they be able to go on the ice?
Yeah, they're on their own. I mean, a lot of NCAA rules and protocol we have to follow, but the guys have access to the ice and they'll go out. Some guys kind of on their own to work on some skill development or shooting or things like that, and then the team will go out as a bigger group after some of that's done and scrimmage a little bit and kind of just get back on the ice. Still unique. If you look at the Ontario kids, the province of Ontario was a pretty severe lockdown, and I think one or two of our guys there did not have access to ice really all summer, so they're in a much different spot than guys who were either stayed here or different spots where the lockdown wasn't quite as severe and they could be training and on the ice, things like that. So it'll be a little bit different, making sure all our guys kind of get to that same spot to start camp out in a couple weeks. But ice is in and guys are going. As you said, the Lakerpalooza and those type of events are going on, and just asking our guys to really get acclimated and get to know the other students and really enjoy this week or two before things really launch and we get right into the thick of things pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, really, and it's not so exciting for guys who are retired like me who see the summer passing by here and getting back into fall. But, Laker hockey is a big part of all our winters. It's what we do, and it's right around the corner.
It is, and it's hard to believe, especially the weather we've had this week and moving forward this week. Said nobody wants to wish that away, but this time of the year, from a coaching perspective, and I think the players, one of the most exciting times of the year is to welcome the guys back. You really miss them. You spend so much time together, and it's great to get a break as well, but it's great to have them back. It feels so natural and so much excitement to get back on the ice, and so I think guys are excited to be here. Some of the guys have had real good summers that we've seen so far. We'll get a lot better barometer on that next week as we get right into our strength testing protocol, which Coach Brown will run the guys through the paces on that, and we'll know exactly where everybody's at, and then the competition's live. Certainly some good opportunities for guys, a lot of expectations for the guys who are returning. You said it a little bit early in the program, Bill, that that championship mindset's back, and we don't want to fall from there. The expectation is we go out, earn another championship this year, get back to the NCAA tournament and move forward in the tournament. Now it's not good enough just to get back there. Now we've got to win a couple games in advance through the NCAA tournament. So that's the mindset the guys bring back in, and a lot of excitement because of that.
All right, we're going to talk about the newcomers, who they are, what numbers they wear, all that sort of thing. We'll get into some details on that, maybe some recruiting questions as well. We've got a lot of Laker hockey talk here tonight. You're listening to the show for the month of August, and we'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400.
You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400 with Laker head coach Damon Whitten. Now, here's Bill Crawford.
All righty, we're back for our second segment of Laker Hockey Talk. It's our August show. It'll replay at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning. If you're listening now or just catching into it and you missed the first part, you can listen to it again on Thursday morning at 8 a.m. And Damon Witten's with us. Matt Pocket's here. We've got lots of questions, lots of players. I get a lot of questions about players, the newcomers, who they are, what they're going to do, how good they are. And, of course, I don't know. They're all new guys to me. I haven't seen any of them play, to tell you the truth, other than Jake Willits, who played at Ferris State, who I think is a pretty good defenseman and was one of the leading scorers on that Ferris State team his first 2 years. He kind of fell off a little bit, but I think he's going to do a good job for you. And I hear some really good things about Grant Hinman, the incoming freshman. I hear he's a regular bodybuilder, that he's really tested well so far, and some good things about some of the other guys who've come back in. So let's talk about players. You got 16 newcomers. That's a lot of people coming in, and we can go through the names, or you can go through them, however we want to do it. But lots of new talent at Lake Superior State.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard because, you know, you leave somebody out or things like that. And it's so early. You know, we haven't been on the ice with them, obviously. We haven't been able to see that side at all. You see the bodies a little bit. Some guys who are around, you know, have some time in with Coach Brown, so that's good to know. But, you know, excited about the back end, as you mentioned. We had some key losses to some seniors, which you always do. I mean, that's college sports. You know, you don't have a guy for 10, 15 years in your organization. You know, you turn guys over every couple of years, and that's what we do. So, you know, those three guys coming in to replace Kaibel Rydell are going to be really critical. Grant Hinman, Sebastian Medema, Jake Willits, I think all very capable. Sebastian, you know, we was here for semester last year. We didn't give him the opportunity to play games by design, but he could not come back to the U.S. on his visa and was not eligible to play back home in Sweden. So he got to come at Christmas and enroll, take classes and practice with us, and he can play. There's no question that he can contribute and be a real good player for us. You mentioned Jake Willits, you know, a former all rookie WCHA defenseman. I think he's going to help us on the power play. He's going to help us in all facets of the game, but certainly in the power play as well. So we're excited to kind of get on the ice and see where he's at. I think there's you know, some adjustments in terms of style of play that we've worked with him a little bit over the summer through Zoom and meetings that way, but lots to do that way. And then Grant Hinman, you mentioned as well. You know, Grant, you know, we're real excited about Grant. You know, I think he's a guy that will, you know, probably wear a letter at some point in his career here. Just, you know, unbelievable character, you know, really committed to the game off the ice. It shows, you know, when you see him, he looks like an athlete and looks like a hockey player. And, you know, can't wait to see him more on the ice in those settings there. But I think all three of those guys can play, and you know, we return quite a few defensemen as well. I think we've got 9 D, and I think all 9 can play. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a very deep, very competitive position for us. You know, starting off with the D core,
you can definitely tell when guys get back on campus which guys maybe have not taken their off-season conditioning so seriously, might look a little soft. You can also tell which guys have been in the gym every single day, because these guys come in, you look at them, and you're like, oh my God, he is enormous now. Who's stood out to you so far?
Yeah, and, you know, it's a great question. And, you know, Spencer Denbesty's had a good summer. You know, Spencer's been back and forth, obviously a UP kid, and, you know, was around hockey schools, did a great job, and, you know, it was good to see him. But Spencer looks good. He's had a good summer. Dustin Manns is in phenomenal shape. You know, you probably can't do anything more than Dustin Manns has done this summer. He's ready to go. He's a little bit leaner, which I think will help him play with a little bit more quickness and speed to his game. I mentioned Grant Hinman coming back. Grant Hinman looks really good. You know, waiting for a few guys again. You know, Louis Bedon's not back yet, but he's a guy that's always been very meticulous in his approach to the game and in the weight room. So we expect Louis to be in great shape as well. So, you know a lot more next week. You can't hide next week, and that's one of the you know, important things about having a good testing regimen, and Taylor Brown does a great job with them. You know, for any returners, you know, if you're a senior, we've got 4 years of these numbers to match up where you're at. And even more so, you know, it's a good baseline when you get here, but even more so, it helps Taylor assess what he can do with these guys in certain areas. You know, if it's a cardio issue, Taylor can tailor make specialize your program to catch up in cardio. If it's a strength issue, that's going to take a little bit longer, but he can work in there. Jeremy Gervais is another guy that's come back and really, you know, he wasn't strong enough last year when he got here, like many freshmen aren't. That's not uncommon. But Jerv has corrected all that, had a great summer, and, you know, really, really excited to see what he looks like when we get on the ice.
Yeah, it's not just a matter either of going into the weight room and just lifting things for a couple of hours. There's specific programs to address specific needs in each player's game.
Yeah, very individualized, and I think that's one of the things that Taylor and along with Pat Sarny really excel at, you know, is assessing strengths and weaknesses, and then, you know, catching you up in those areas. And for Jerv, it was more of a strength issue. He's got a strong cardio base. He's got a strong VO2 where he can handle big minutes and recover quickly, but his strength was not where it needed to be. And again, not uncommon. He's from way up north in BC. It's not like a Minneapolis kid or Detroit kid who's got skating coaches and access to ice and gyms. When you're in these smaller towns, you know, you don't have the same resources as some of these other places do. So, you know, Jerv was a little bit behind. We probably anticipated that, knew that coming in. but he's addressed it this summer. And that's your hope. Guys like that have to do that. He showed the commitment, and you know, that's going to only help him to compete for a spot and put him in a good place to earn a role.
You know, I think that's one of the things that I've noted, having been around for a long time now. When Frank Anzalone was coaching the Lakers and they were winning in the late 1980s and into the early 1990s, we were physically probably ahead of everybody. I mean, he was into things that nobody else was doing. And physically, we manhandled a lot of teams. In fact, a lot of teams, I've talked to athletes who played for other teams who say, hey, we hated playing you guys. We used to just get thrown in the corner and ragdolled, you know. But now everybody's into that. And I've noted, like, I can remember Steven Perfetto when he played for us when Jim Rock was coaching here, constantly on the end of things to make sure his diet was proper. He was drinking the right things. He was not out partying. These guys are professionals. I mean, it's incredible the change in this game. And probably all athletics is like that. But this game's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. And I had Perfetto his senior year, and you're right, he used to bring his own food on the road. He was so meticulous about his diet, and which is phenomenal. That's what you want. You know, we try to, as a coach, you know, we can control those menus quite a bit, but you also have to be broad-based enough where enough guys are going to get the proper nutrition. But it is a science. You know, we kind of laugh, Yorkie and I, when we go in the weight room now, because the science has changed so much. What they do is so different from what we were doing back in the mid to late 90s, you know, when we were playing. And it's you know, guys are leaner than us, bulky typically. There's a lot more motion and things they're doing that way. I've got my master's degree in kinesiology, but I have not stayed up with the science, so I don't know it. I don't pretend to know it, and that's why your strength conditioning coach is so critical to success. And Taylor, we've got a real gem in Taylor and the job he does with our guys. So a ton of changes in the gym with diet, nutrition, recovery, all those areas, and Taylor really takes care of the guys well that way.
And I think strength and conditioning is becoming a little bit of a misnomer too, because you mentioned the keyword, I think, recovery. So much of this is about recovery now. Keeping you at the top of your game to be able to play more minutes for longer, recover from injuries, and just recover from wear and tear. I think that's become the key thing at all levels of sports now, recovery.
Yeah, no question. And again, I give Pat and Taylor a lot of credit. It's when you have the right staff in place, nobody's afraid to kind of fight and advocate. And again, you know, when Mike and I, being a little bit older, we want to fall back to some of the things we know, or what we did with Coach Mason, or whatever the case may be. You need strong people around you to really advocate and push. And like, Coach, this is the science. Like, you have to trust me. You have to believe me. And both Pat and Taylor, you know, do a really good job of, you know, coming in with, hey, this is the plan. This is why we want to do it. And, you know, you build trust as you move along there, and a high level of trust there. So Taylor is very big on those recovery things. Bill, you mentioned kind of the social habits and off ice habits, and it's still important. This is college. You know, you have to pick your spots. You want to enjoy these 4 years. You know, and now is probably the most dangerous time, from sitting in my chair, with, you know, we're not playing games yet. Guys want to enjoy that college experience, and they deserve to, you know, but they have to do it responsibly. They have to make good choices here, and it has to be limited. You know, a month from now, those chances are few and far in between to be able to go out and perform at the high level. If you want to do what Mike York did and play in the National Hockey League, there's a lot of sacrifices you have to make. Most of our guys really understand that and are willing to do just about anything to do that. And that diet, that nutrition, that recovery is all a huge piece of it.
Yeah, speaking of Mike York too, you know, I had a little conversation with him one time in the coach's room before a game last year, where he was talking about all the injuries he had when he played in the National Hockey League. I mean, he's like the bionic man. He's had, and you know, if you're going to play at that level, you got to be ready. This is part of the game. It's part of your life. And injuries, broken legs, broken ankles, broken feet, arms, noses. I mean,
a little everything.
The guy's gone through everything.
At all. I can't remember if it said 12, 16 surgeries, something like that.
He's more metal than man.
Yeah. It's crazy the sacrifice that you do just to give yourself a chance. And, you know, he tells one where he's over in Germany, I think, when he broke his ankle last, and just sitting in a German hospital and couldn't really communicate and didn't know what they were doing. And, you sacrifice a lot, you know, certainly to get to that level. But even our guys, like you said, they give up a lot to give themselves a chance to play at this level. And, you know, if it was easy, everybody would do it, and it's certainly not easy. And you know, we appreciate the commitment our guys show and the dedication they show just to give them a chance to play at this level. And then, you know, that gives you a chance to be successful on the ice.
Well, I want to talk about the players, the guys who are coming in, and what I'll do is I'll go through them. I got all the names right here, so what I'll do is go through the names. You talk a little bit about each one. One of the interesting things for me here, and probably for you too as the head coach, is how many guys have changed numbers this year. It's incredible. For the broadcasting crew, we're going to be like, well, that's Will Riedel. No, it's not. It's Mitch Williams. You know, Mitch Williams is going to wear number
Tyler Williams
is going to wear number three. Logan Genuine's going to wear number eight. Dustin Manns is going to become Alex Ambrosio and wear number nine. Jack Jeffers is going to be Pete Violette. He's going to be wearing number 26 now. And wearing his old number 20 will be Grant Hinman. Cole Kraft's going to be number 18. Jake Willits is number 6. Venegoni's going to be 21. And we got a lot of new guys, and they all have new numbers. But they're switching numbers around. And I'm taking it for granted that the veterans have asked to have these numbers.
Yeah, yeah, great question. And, you know, Yorkie and Size are going to be so sick of me because I'm like you. I'm going to be calling Dustin Manns number 8 all year, and they're going to be looking at me like, what am I talking about? So it's hard on me after a couple of years, and, you know, you get so ingrained. But you're right, you know, we always, after the year, Wes does a good job of going, hey, we all have a number, you know, like we have a number that's special to us for whatever reason, you know, different reasons for different guys, family number, your dad wore it, whatever the case may be. And then sometimes when you come in, you know, that number is taken by somebody else. And I don't know everybody's stories of why they're attached to a certain number, but we certainly, you know, like to give guys the option to go to their number when it becomes available. You know, you're not going to bump an upperclassman for a freshman coming in, but if it becomes available and it's meaningful to them, we like to make the switch. So that's why it happens. And I'm with you. It drives me nuts, and I will struggle all year with it.
I do think it's interesting. I think we've seen more guys at the top level wear higher numbers. I mean, you used to never see that. Gretzky was one of the few. You saw Lindros with like 88, but you didn't see a whole lot of guys getting above 40 or so, and now it's everybody.
Common, yeah. Yorkie was one of those guys. I think he grew up in Waterford, loved Pat LaFontaine. I can't remember
good
when he
player.
Got to East Lansing. Somebody had the number. So, and actually Coach Mason let him wear 61. And back then, in the, you know, late 90s with Coach Mason, that was mid-90s. That was, you didn't do that. But it has really changed. You know, I think the rosters, teams carry, it's gotten popular to, you know, to flip those, reverse those, your number's retired. So it's changed. It's probably something, you know, I wouldn't mind going to. But it's been, you know, pretty big here that we stay with those traditional numbers. And you try to balance, you know, honoring, you know, past traditions and things like that with trying to stay modern as well and advocate for your players. So it's a balance we have to strike.
Okay, we're going to take a break during the middle of some of this stuff. We're not going to do it right now, but we'll just get started with some of these guys. And you tell me just maybe a quick impression of where they're from or what position you're looking for them to play and maybe a thought or two on why they're here as Lakers at this point.
Okay.
We'll start with Cole Kraft, who's going to wear number 18 this year, and he's a forward.
Yeah, you know, Cole's a Northern Ontario guy, so really excited to get him out of North Bay, you know, not too far away. He suffered some of those Ontario lockdowns, so, you know, he's working through that a little bit, but I think there's big expectation. He's a big body, extremely competitive kid. Yeah, he can get to the net, you know, with a purpose. And he's got the ability to finish, you know, from a distance or around the net. So we're looking forward to seeing, you know, how he can help offset some of those scoring losses.
Did he play in the North American League last year?
He was in the USHL. So
USHL.
He didn't go back to the CCHL. He went down to, I'm drawing a blank right now, Tri-City? Lincoln. Yeah. He was in Lincoln last year. I'm sorry.
All right. And then the next guy we talked about already, but let's bring him up again, Jake Willits, who's coming in as a transfer out of Ferris State.
Yeah, you know, interesting story on Jake. You know, he was just looking for another opportunity there. And, you know, we one of the things that attracted us to Jake among a handful was just our loss. You know, instead of bringing in freshmen to replace a guy like Riedel and Kybel, there's a guy that's got a couple years of college hockey in our league under the belt. So he knows the league, he knows the buildings, and he's a former all-league player. So high expectations of Jake as well.
He's going to wear number 6 this season. And then we've got Grant Hinman. We talked a little bit about him. He's a beast in the weight room. He's going to wear number 20, which was Jack Jeffers' number, but he's a defenseman.
Yeah, very good player, you know, in Youngstown. You know, he's been a captain. He was on a really loaded U-16 Little Caesars team. I think they might have been national champions. If not, they are right up there, and he was the captain of that team. Again, you know, we've already talked about his leadership ability, but always worn a letter, always been a leader. He'll be that for us, and I think coming out of Youngstown in the USHL, you know, those guys acclimate themselves pretty quickly, and, you know, I think he'll he'll be, you know, right in the mix to play a really big role for us next year.
Okay, the next guy, there's been some question about eligibility at this point. I don't know if that's been cleared up, but Jordan Venegoni is a Laker. He's coming in. He's going to wear number 21, which is the number Tyler Williams was wearing last season. And Jordan Venegoni comes in with some pretty good credentials.
Yeah, Jordan's a real crafty winger. You know, a little bit like Pete Viette, I'd say. You know, he's got the ability to play with pace and beat defenders one-on-one. You know, he'll play probably on the wing. He's more of a winger than a centerman. So, again, he's a guy that's going to have to be some of that scoring offset. Still working through a couple issues with his transcripts and things like that. So we don't quite know if he'll be ready from day one or not. But that's the type of player you see, you know, plays with pace, plays with skill, creative offensive type of player.
Now, the next guy comes out of Maryland. He was playing on that same team where Chase Tolaire was playing, but Josh Nixon wears number 24 for the Lakers. That's a big uniform to fill right there. That's Hampus Erickson.
Yeah, you know, and Josh is an Ontario kid. He was down in Sioux City in the USHL for I think a season and a chunk, and then, you know, through the COVID issues and things like that, you know, ended up in Maryland, and I think that was a tough transition for him at first. You know, it took him a little while to get acclimated to Maryland, and then through the playoffs was, you know, the best player in the league at that point. He had a dominant playoff run for Maryland. You know, again, a little bit like Venegoni, a little bit undersized, plays with a ton of pace, very creative, very skilled. You know, he'll look to fill, again, some of that offense that we lost. And, you know, we're looking at that skill and creativity to plug into the lineup.
Okay, the next guy is a centerman. He did not play last season because of the COVID issues, et cetera, but Timo Backos comes out of Germany, and he's going to wear number 22, which makes sense. That's Lucas Kybel's number. And Lucas Kybel, if I remember from a previous show, idolized Timo Backos' father in the German pro leagues when he was growing up.
Yeah, they're not from the same city back home, but like you said, Timo's dad played in Lucas's hometown, and Lucas grew up watching him play, and that's why he wore number 22, so just kind of a crazy connection in the small hockey world ultimately. Timo was in Sioux Falls in the USHL, but as you said, because of visa issues during COVID, he couldn't come over last year and didn't play, you know, so he trained and skated as much as he could, but missed a year of game and competition. But, you know, big body. He's a long kid. He's got a lot of different skill sets. I think had he been back in Sioux Falls this year, you know, he probably would have been a 20 to 30 point guy, maybe 35 points. And again, you know, kids out of that league, they can transition into college hockey quickly because of the depth and the talent out of the USHL. And Timo is going to be a good addition to us, you know, is what we anticipate. But, you know, a little bit wait and see because of his layoff.
Yeah, he's a centerman, as we said. You've got three newcomers who are centermen. Another is Brent Rollison, who comes from a pretty good hockey family. He's going to wear number 14. That's Yuki Miura's number. And if he plays half as well as Yuki Miura, he'll have a great career here at Lake Superior.
Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, there's a little bit of comparison to the way they play. I would say, you know, Brett is hockey IQ is off the charts. Probably not shocking. He grew up, you know, in a rink and around his dad playing in the NHL. So his brain is unbelievable. And I think Coach York was the one that was first. He was in BC, and then because of BC not playing, he came down to the North American League last year. And all those guys, Dawson Tritt, the same thing. You know, they missed months of hockey. And when they finally got to their teams, you know, they were like 2 months behind, hadn't been on the ice. So it was tough to adjust and get going again. But, you know, Mike York did a great job with Brett, just seeing the hockey IQ he plays with. I believe he was in Powell River when we first started recruiting him in the BCHL before he ended up in Minot through COVID and things like that. But yeah, we expect Brett's IQ to help him transition quickly to college hockey. You know, probably physically he's got some work to do to add some muscle and some mass, and that'll take a little bit of time. But because he's so smart, you know, he'll be able to avoid contact and work in small areas due to that IQ.
Next guy you just mentioned a few moments ago, he's a forward. His name is Dawson Tritt. He's going to wear number 11. That's Nico's old number. And Dawson Tritt comes in pretty high acclimation for him, too.
Yeah, similar to Brett, where, again, he was in the BCHL, and he's an American from out in Washington, and then due to COVID, things like that, and then the BCHL not playing, you know, he couldn't get going there. So we kind of helped get him down to Lone Star, and again, you know, slow start in Lone Star because he'd been off for so long, and then, you know, had a good finish there. You know, Dawson is a big, long player who competes at a high level. He's a real good mix of, you know, maybe kind of like Diego a little bit, where he's got a little bit of grit to his game. He's got some finish to his game. Also some really good versatility with Dawson, that he can play center or the wing. He played center mostly this year after he got established in Lone Star, but was playing on the wing before. So because of some of those losses down the middle, we love the versatility he brings as well. So we'll have three guys really competing for two center spots, with some guys who have the ability, because of IQ or versatility, to bounce to the wing as well.
Well, there's another guy here we have not talked about, because it was announced in the last 30 days that he's going to transfer here from Boston College, but Harrison Roy is going to join the Lakers. He's going to be Ashton Calder this year because he's going to wear number 16. But Harrison Roy is another centerman. He took a lot of faceoffs for Jerry York's team last year, and I'm not sure why he wanted to leave BC, but he's coming here as a Massachusetts native and going to play for Lake Superior State.
Yeah, we'll have to dig in the record books and see how many Mass natives we have. I know in my time, I don't think we've had anybody, or not even a lot of New England base. But I think we're pretty excited, but fortunate also on the timing. We were keeping an eye on a portal once Ashton went in and left the program. We didn't want to grab a player just to grab a player, but if the right player became available that could step into the lineup and be an impact in all situations and offensively, we wanted to get involved with a player like that. And so when Harry went in, we were very aggressive in reaching out and seeing what he was looking for in the next opportunity, and really fortunate he came in there. He was an underager in BC. He could have been back in the USHL playing again, but went into BC a year early. Obviously, a very well-respected program and a top program in the country under Jerry York. We've got a lot of high hopes for Harry to step in and be some of that talent that we lost. And again, a year of college hockey under his belt, so you're not relying on a freshman to make that big jump. Harry's going to have big shoes to fill, and we're looking forward to see what he can do.
Yeah, he comes in as a sophomore, took a lot of faceoffs last year. He didn't do that well. I think he was like 40%, 41% in the faceoff circle, but hey, at least he has the knack. He knows what to do there, and there were some nice things written about him that we looked on the recruiting issue with him. So Harry Roy is going to be a Laker this year, and it'll be interesting. That gives you a lot of centermen. I mean, if you look at Tritt as being a possible centerman, that would give you seven guys who could play in the middle, including Manns and Bodone, Tyler Williams, who didn't play much last year, but he was a centerman when he played, Backos, Rollison, Roy, and perhaps Tritt. That's a lot of strength in the middle right there.
Yeah, well, when you have to, I think when you looked at Manns and Louis' freshman year, as good as players as they were, it's a very tough position to transition into as a freshman. So, Harry, like you said, he's not a freshman. He's played a year of college hockey. That's going to give him a little bit of a leg up. But those guys are versatile, and if they're not a freshman, maybe a center as a freshman, I think they'll have the opportunity, as Louis and Manns, you graduate the next year or two, to fill back in there. But it makes for a competitive situation, which is what we want. I think Tyler Williams is more of a true winger. That's where he spent most of his career, and that's where we see Tyler. And he's another guy. Yes, early in the show, Matt, who looks good? Tyler Williams has looked good early on. But competition's the name of the game, and it'll be competitive to see how we replace Hampus and Alex Ambrosio from down the middle.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what goes on. It always is. A lot of newcomers. I think I said 16 earlier. It's 11. Newcomers to the team, not 16. 16 returning veterans, and we'll talk a little bit about them here in a final segment of our show. We're going to take a break, though, and we'll be back. We got a couple more guys to hit here, including a goaltender and a defenseman, and we'll be right back with more Laker hockey talk on ESPN 1400.
Now back to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400 with Laker head coach Damon Whitten and the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford.
All right, back for our final segment of our August show. And I've been dreading saying the August show all summer because I love the month of June. I really like July. August tells me winter is returning. So, I'm not real happy about getting this far into August, but it has been gorgeous. I mean, we've had such a great summer, Damon. I don't know what you and the family have been doing, but I hope you've been enjoying some water. You live out that way. And Angie's probably pretty happy with this weather.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. And actually, I'm glad you brought it up. I appreciate it. My son's got his 10th birthday this Friday, so I want to wish Joey
happy birthday.
Happy 10th birthday, and hopefully this great weather continues because we'll be in the water if it does.
He's a good bubble hockey player. I played against him at the Antlers, and he whooped me pretty good a few years back.
Yeah, now it'll be nice to get back to Antlers soon and see how he's doing now that he's 10. So.
Yeah, hopefully we take the Laker hockey show back to the Antlers. We enjoyed that, of course, last year. We were in studio the whole season, in studio again this summer. So we'll hope that gets turned around. And, you know, there's another question for you before we move on to the last two freshmen. What's the talk right now with fans returning and ticket packages? I know we've got this great ticket package that you've got right now where fans can buy 10 games for $100. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah, the Laker Gold Plan is online now. You can go to that right now or Thursday when you listen to the show and get on the website and get that Laker Gold Plan. September 5th is the next kind of big ticket date. And on September 5th, single game tickets go on sale. And I would just, mention to people along with that is October 16th, that Saturday of Great Lakes State Weekend, we will be having a banner-raising ceremony. So that's definitely a game to look for. And obviously with Great Lakes State Weekend, it'll be a full house. So, get that ticket plan going. Bill, we're hopeful that fans are in there. I mean, we're going under the assumption, like everybody is, that we'll have fans in the building and certainly keeping an eye on, what's going on locally and across the state and nationally about what things look like, but we're operating as if we'll have people back in the building, and that's certainly the hope. I've seen, hockey schools were great. I appreciate all the kids coming out and the parents signing up because it was really fun, and heard over and over how much people missed it last year and how much they want to be in the building. So we're very hopeful we're on track to get people back in the building.
Yeah, I think it's great. We are hearing good things, and you think about where you're going to go. You're going to start the season in Omaha, so we'll talk schedule for a second here. We are going to get to Sebastian Medema and also to Easton Hess, too. We'll be talking about them in a moment. But while we're talking schedule here, you're going to open in Omaha. You're open on the road. Then you're going to go to Michigan for two games. And then Lake Great Lakes State Weekend comes, and we play three straight at home, series at home. Yeah. It's a really good schedule. It'll be a great test right off the bat. You're going to bust to Omaha. You're going to obviously bust down to Ann Arbor. But let's hope there are fans, because Omaha and Michigan – they put a lot of people in their buildings, and that'd be really exciting for our new guys.
Yeah, it really is. Baxter, we've had a chance to go down there, and, former Laker Paul Gerard's done a phenomenal job on that staff, and, they're doing a great job down there, and Paul's a big piece of that. So that's a good trip. It's in a good location. They've got a great facility, and like you said, they get a good, loud crowd there. And obviously we know what Yost is like, one of the storied buildings in college hockey, and, they're coming off a great summer with the NHL draft, so there'll be a lot of buzz and a lot of eyeballs in that building. So I know our guys will be real excited to get in there and play that. And then, like you said, three straight weeks at home, starting with our first CCHA games, relaunching the CCHA with St. Thomas and Great Lakes State Weekend. The banner raising ceremony will be a real special night to be part of and honor that championship team and, launch CCHA play and then St. Lawrence and Union. So it's crazy. It's right around the corner. Just hard to sit here and wait. We've got a really busy recruiting season coming up and a lot of trips and travel to go out and check in on committed players and find new players. But in the back of your mind, every day, every night is now you're really taken up with practice planning and line combinations and prepping for that puck drop.
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. And we're talking about the newcomers to the Laker program. We've hit nine of them, so we have two left. Sebastian Medema. We talked about him a little earlier in the show. He was here last semester, so he went through the January to April part of the season with the Lakers. He practiced a lot, did not play because he wasn't eligible, but he's going to be wearing Chase Gamblin's old number 17, and he's going to be a defenseman for the Lakers, and I know you like him. You think he could give us some time.
Well, and just to be clear, he wasn't ineligible. It was kind of a redshirt option because we had an established D corps.
But we didn't want to play.
Yeah, we didn't want to, use a year. I guess, hindsight we could have because of COVID, but our D rotation was pretty established, and he was late coming here. But, a good player in Sioux Falls and the USHL, again, one of those USHL defensemen like Bankston, Nordquist, Sockerman, Keibel. We've been really successful identifying some of those guys and them transitioning really well. Sebi's got, real good size. He's probably 6'1", 6'2". His mobility is tremendous. You know, if you're anywhere near him, he can pivot. He can, extend, defend you extremely well. I think he's got good vision to make exits and get pucks in the stick of our forward, and then skating ability to activate and go as well. So we're excited about him. You know, he can play. I mean, I'm not sure, we have a D on our roster that you say, well, he's behind and he's going to be a depth guy. I think it's going to be really competitive. I can tell you sitting here today, you know, we're probably going to go with seven defensemen a lot. And, we might have to find a way to get an eighth defenseman in some nights, things like that. So our D core is a real deep unit, which is great. And, up front, there's a little bit more question marks because of some of the losses and departures, but guys that are waiting to step up. So it's going to be a really exciting group.
I would think with that defensive core, there is a lot of parity there, and a lot of guys are going to expect to play, and not everybody can play, so it's really going to be competitive. And you better not have a week off in practice or get hurt, because there's somebody there to take your job.
You know, and that happens. You know, to me, that's always a hard one. When a guy gets hurt and somebody goes in and plays so well, you can't take him off. I don't like guys, losing spots due to injury, but it happens. It's part of it. And, that decor. Again, I think we're deep enough back there. And obviously, we got to get on the ice and see them and see how they play in games. You could maybe see two guys flopping out of the weekend, getting one games. We did that with Gervais a little bit this year, getting him experience, bringing him along a little bit slower. Artie Borshaw was part of that as well, and those guys are ready as well. So really excited. I know the last guy you're going to get to is Easton Hess, so I'll jump in there. I don't think you can talk goaltending without mentioning Langenegger and Seth Eisley, who, we got both those guys more minutes than I think anybody else with a Richter Award got one backup. It speaks, how highly we think of them, the job Zach does with those guys. And having said that, we spent most of last year planning on bringing kind of a true walk-on third goalie. And then when the transfer portal came in, we said, hang on a second. We can't. If somebody's not happy or somebody has a phenomenal year and signs, we need to have somebody who's learned is ready to play. So our mindset changed as the portal was becoming more of a reality. We went from looking from a true walk-on who'd be just kind of a practice goalie to trying to find a guy who can help us when the time comes. I think Easton's going to have to, be a little bit patient behind Seth and Ethan, but we think he's got the skill set and the ability to be a guy who will play for us at some point. Not sure it'll be a ton next year, but I think down the road, as the logjam breaks up a little bit, he has the ability to go in and play games. I think it was the AHL, the Alberta Junior Hockey League Goalie of the Year, I believe. Had a great run up in the AJ, and he's a very capable goaltender, and we're excited for him as well.
Yeah, he's got good size, too, and he's going to wear number 30. That's Merrick Smitten's old number, so he's gonna have to show us something, but I think you got, your goaltending, that's probably the least of your worries right now. I think Langenegger can play. There's no doubt about that. He showed us that last year. Seth Eisley can play, and he's a big body. And I know he's in great shape. He was here all summer, so I got to know him a little bit and talk to him a little bit more than the other two guys, obviously. But he's a Minnesota kid who wants to play. So it's going to be a very competitive situation there, too. But that's our newcomers, 11 of them coming in. We're going to talk about veterans next show when we get ready to go, because our next show will be September, and right after that, 2 weeks later, you're going to start your season. So, this is an exciting time, and I think this is a good team. I wanted to mention Logan Genuine. You say he's in good shape. He's the kid who transferred from Arizona State, didn't play last year. He's a guy, if he can shoot the puck, and like we hear he can, and if he can get a spot in there. I mean, he's a guy we need. We got to have him play well.
Yeah, he's a track record of a goal scorer. That's he does more than that, obviously, but that's his real special niche there, is to be an elite, high-level goal scorer. I think broke the North American Hockey League record in goals his last year in junior hockey. Had a decent freshman season at Arizona State as well, and, missed some time there, and still kind of recovering from that whole situation there and what he dealt with. So we're excited to add him back into the mix. He's back, and he looks good. He's ready to go. And so I think he'll be real hungry and real desperate to get back in there. And like you said, we need that. We need somebody to come in and score a lot of goals for us. And Logan will be a piece of what we look for there.
Well, you look at the other guy who transferred last year from Minnesota Duluth, Brandon Percelli. How good was he? I mean, he was spectacularly good, I thought. He was a really hard-working player. He was a second leading scorer on this team last year of the returners. 15 points.
Good. And he had a great finish. You know, I think those transfers, Jack Jeffers and Perch, you know, it takes time. It's this new setting, all new bodies and teams. And I like that for Jake Willits and Harry Roy. They've got Perch and Jeffers to look at as transfers. I think it's where we're all going to have that now because of this transfer portal. But I think those guys can help their transition be a little bit more seamless, a little quicker, a little easier. But Perch finished the year as one of our best players, along with Jack Jeffers and Dustin Manns. Those guys had a great playoff run. We're a big part of our WCHA championship and NCAA tournament run. So we need those guys to pick up where they left off, and I think they're capable of doing that. Lastly, Bill, I know we're running short on time here, but we'll probably have a captain's announcement out, possibly next week. We worked a lot with our leadership group over this summer, feel really good about where they're at, and the guys who wear letters will get a little bit more publicity, obviously, and recognition. But I think the others, seniors and juniors, the other upperclassmen are really ready. Jacob Bankston's a phenomenal leader. He's not going to wear a leader right now, letter right now, but Jacob has a respect of the team, a tremendous player, and so he'll be a part of that leadership core. But that will be out soon, and we feel real good about our leadership group as well.
We're going to talk about the veterans, as I say, the returning players. There are 16 guys back. We lost a lot. We lost some high-end people, either to the portal or to leaving before they had to, or
graduation. Sure.
And we don't have programs here where they can take master's level courses to continue their education. So, like, a lot of people will say to me, why is Will Riedel playing at Ohio State? Because he's trying to continue his education and he can play there. If he stayed here, what's he going to seek a second major and get a year in on it? That's not going to happen.
Yeah. The other big part, too, was that, pro teams weren't signing guys. They were all dealing with COVID as well, and they were carrying extra bodies at each level. So it was a really unique offseason for pro hockey. They're not totally through it. There's some signings going on, a little bit trickling in, waiting for the draft, all that. Most years, those guys would have signed immediately, went and got pro games in, got some experience like we always see, but because of COVID, they couldn't bring new people into their bubble. So that was a big part of it as well. I think all those guys would have preferred to start their pro career, but it wasn't able to during COVID.
We got about a minute left. I wanted to mention this kid I talked to you about off mic before the show, Austin Swankler, the kid who's playing in Erie, transferring to Bowling Green. He's a big scorer. He scored a lot of points in Erie. He did not play last year because that whole league did not play. So that's his year to sit out. And he kind of sneaked through the system here on it. And he's going to play at Bowling Green. He's really going to help them. But that's not how we're going here. That's kind of an anomaly. This isn't going to start happening all the time where these major A players start playing college hockey.
Correct. That's what we're hearing. I think what they're saying is they missed it through the process and they're not going to punish the kid for their mistake. So I think a lot of raised eyebrows when that got announced. And, interesting. Obviously, we dealt with that with Braden Gelsinger a couple of years back, who had played, I think, about 16 games, and a little bit of a similar situation in some respects. But that was a real eye raiser for everybody across college hockey. That's not what we anticipate moving forward. But, something else we'll have to keep an eye on, along with the transfer portal and name, image, likeness. A lot of changes in college athletics, and a lot to learn. And that's why Dr. Dials is going to have to really catch up quickly and lead this department, which, like I said, we're really excited about.
All right. Well, we've touched on everything. The new AD coming in, the associate coaches, Pat Sarnie leaving. Damon, good job on this show. And we'll talk again mid-September for our last monthly show. And then we'll get into that weekly show every week. We'll hope we're back at the Antlers for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's great coming in. And again, just encourage all of our fans and listeners to get their tickets, get in there, get logged in, and find what season ticket package works best for you. It's going to be a great season, starting with that banner raising, and looking forward to doing that again. So thank you, Bill, and we'll talk next month.
All righty. For Matt Pocket, who's in here with us, and Damon Whitten, Bill Crawford, so long. Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie Sports Leader. Now let's get back to regular programming.